हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीहाद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 10. In the next four verses, 21 to 24, Sri Narad Muni describes unique qualities of each varna. The symptoms of a Brahman are control of the mind, control of the senses, austerity and penance, cleanliness, satisfaction, forgiveness, simplicity, knowledge, mercy, truthfulness, and complete surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right. So then cleanliness means, you're talking about, the main point is the purity, right? Because the Lord is pure goodness. So that means there's no tinge of passion or ignorance. So that means there's the proper knowledge, proper dutifulness, all that. That's able to maintain that, the steadiness. While other things, then they distract one. Because if one's not clean, control of the mind, the senses, the performance of duties, these things become very difficult. Right? How would you be forgiving? Right? Because mode of passion, you don't want to forgive. Right? Yes.
Are they in some specific order, or does it?
Means you want to know if you can start somewhere else or something.
If I want to skip one of them, where do I start?
I want to skip all of them. Where do I start?
I start with complete surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Leave all the others, just do that one. Complete surrender, that means body, mind, and words. Yeah, so that's why then you see the advantage of the others, yeah. Right, so that's cleanliness, body cleanliness, mind's cleanliness, words is just, you know, all around cleanliness, right? Yeah. So that makes sense. So that's why cleanliness is such an important part of the Brahminical culture. Mm-hmm. Some people appreciate it, some don't. But that's why it's here, because then in the pure state, then the mind is, you're able to control. You're able to, ignorance, then you don't want to do your duties. So therefore, if that's purified, then you want to do. Mm-hmm. Then because of, without purity, then there's material desire, so then control of the senses and mind. Right? So it brings everything to the proper standard. Because then when it's in a clean environment, also the mind is much more peaceful. Right? If it's a dirty environment, more difficult. Mm-hmm. Right? Yes. Does that make sense? Yeah. Then satisfaction. So the satisfaction, it means what you have, you're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. Then if more comes, then that's addition to our, you're happy plus. But if you're basing happiness on what you're going to get, then you can never be happy, because the principle is, it's about what I'm going to get. Yes. Once you have something, you already have it. So it's happiness is still what you'll get. Satisfaction is what you already have. Right? Then if more comes, you add to that happiness. You understand? That's the difference, right? So otherwise, it's like what's his name? Our curly-headed Macedonian.
Alexander.
Yes. Not that his head itself was curly.
No.
The hair on the head was curly. I think that's just pop usage.
The mental image is freaking me out.
Yeah, the gargantuan knot was actually his head. Right? You know, that's so he would go conquer a city or a country like this, then move on to the next one. Then that one would go again back to its previous administration. And then he'd conquer all the way across. So then you'd say, oh, he's conquered all this area. But he's only where he is what's conquered. And then he got to India and then turned around and came conquering back. So once he got back to Macedonia, he wasn't in control of any of that other before. So that's the problem. We can't really say that that's great statesmanship. Right? So that's the point, is that if happiness depends upon what you will get, not what you have, then where's the stability? Where's the maintenance? Does that make sense? That's the idea. Forgiveness then means we're thinking that someone is the doer. We're the doer, so that means everybody else is the doer, and their doing's getting in the way of my doing, therefore they're a problem. So forgiveness means you understand it's we're not the doer, it's all connected to the Lord. So then we can forgive, right? And if it's about, does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Because also is the point is that if it's about what I'm going to get, people can get in the way of that. What you have, then it is there. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that aspect of satisfaction will help with forgiveness. Right? Simplicity. You keep it down to just what's necessary. How much it takes to work. Right? If you can do something in one step, why take 10? That's the whole idea. That's simplicity. Just as the most straightforward.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But within the context of the culture and everything like that. So within what's recommended, the culture, proper everything, then you keep it as simple as possible. You know, just like, let's say, for example, you have a throw rug. That's simple. Right? Floor is cold, you put that down, it's there. You need the floor for other things, you roll it up. Easy enough to clean in this. Wall-to-wall carpet, that's complicated. Right? We'll think, oh, now that's easier because it's just down, you don't have to move it, it doesn't slide when the kids go running around and the dog's after them, and all that kind of jazz. Right? You know. But the point is you can't do anything else with it. You know, to maintain it, to put it down, oh, that's complicated. The other one, you just come, roll it out, it's done. It's installed. You know, with the other one, you have to bring the guys, they got to put down the wooden things around, they got to sit there and do it all day, and then and then it's not stretched properly, they got to come back, and this and that, and then, you know, something happens with it, and then how do you clean it, you know, like this. That's what we mean by it's complex. So simple means it's straightforward. So what's the simplest way you could take care of it? You know, within the recommendation, within the culture, within your necessity, that's what you should do. Okay. So therefore, high class generally is simple. That's what sets it apart from other things. It's so simple. You know, the coat and pants match. That's simple. Right? I got this coat. What pants do I wear with it? The pants to go with it. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Yeah.
In the modern society, we just have each thing do its does its particular thing. One thing only.
Yes.
So it would be just the opposite of this?
You're having to look at the combination. One thing can do. That's also simple. But the point is the overall operation, is it simple? You know? Like I remember one devotee, what was this, back in, some time ago. They were looking at the Indian carpenter. You know, they have their little bag, and they have tools in the bag. And whatever can be done in carpentry, they can do it with those tools in the bag. Well, this devotee, was a carpenter, and he says, for me to do the same work, I have, you know, half a truckload of tools to do it. Because he has all these machine things, and one does this, and that does that. Well, they have a couple of tools, and those tools can do everything. So in that case, what you're saying, that would, yes, be complicated, because you have so many things to get one operation done. But this is, one thing does many things, that's simpler. So you need less. The idea is how much less you need that gets everything efficiently done. So you don't go less than that, but you don't, why go more? Right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
So simple actually means intelligent.
Yes,
because
it's intelligent.
It's based on the external.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's.
Yeah. It's also connected with cleanliness. Mm-hmm. It's clean. Mm-hmm. We'll say something simple because it's clean. Mm-hmm. Like that. You know, so it could be in an order. You know, you're satisfied, otherwise, you want more. you know, like that, then you can, the simplicity is there. Yes.
Is it within the culture what is necessary? Are we talking only about like the Vedic culture, or are we talking about a devotee living in the West and maybe to be like accepted within that society and within those social?
And but what would that entail? Means taking that paradigm is okay. That devotee has to be accepted within that social environment. Okay. What are they going to see in that social environment?
Like, I can give my example. I was living in like one bedroom flat, and we had three children, and the fourth was coming. And then, you know, my children's parents were asking, "Are you living just in a one bedroom flat?" So it's like, you know, then you're not completely like accepted within that culture, and then.
But are you going to be accepted anyway? But why were they accepting it? Because you were still living in the same place, and they're accepting. In other words, people that accept will accept the whole package, and people don't accept, doesn't matter what you do. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know.
But still, I don't understand what you mean is necessary within the culture, because there are so many different cultures. Devotees are living all over the world.
Yes, but the point is the Vedic culture has been described, that since we're discussing Varnashram here, is that's the culture that you can apply everywhere, since it's the scientific application of culture, while the modern is simply an unscientific application of the culture. Because those other things that you mentioned, that's just what is popular amongst the individuals. So where you are, you're in a one-bedroom place, they'll say that's not nice. You go to Amsterdam, they would think that, you know, your place is pretty big. You know, and if you want two rooms, you just put a wall down the middle. Anyway, that's all, you know. So. I saw, we had this one, on the Samadhi. The Samadhi, it has those shell domes on the verandas. So they're curved both ways, actually three ways. You know, I mean, it's just got so many curves on it. So no engineers could figure out how to make it. And so they brought in this devotee. He was from Holland, because he had done, I think, the similar kind of things in some big airport over there. I don't know if it was in Germany or if it was in Holland or where it was, but it was a very big project. And so he's, you know, probably in the world, he was the best at doing that. A devotee. So he came here, and he was here for many, many years doing that and other things with the Samadhi. So in those days, you know, one bedroom kind of places, I mean, just one bedroom, one room places, that was standard kind of house. But he applied the, you know, Amsterdam technique of, you know, how you say, space management and all that. And he took this, you know, bigger room, and he put this cabinet in the middle. But the cabinet had a door through it, and so the cabinet created a bedroom. And then it had the other room there, and then you had this other thing. So he took this space that was not big and turned it into like three rooms by their method, which is, you know what I'm saying? So it just depends where you are. Like I said, in Amsterdam, probably the house you were living in that people are complaining about, in Amsterdam, that would have been a big place. You know what I'm saying? So if we're going to consider that, then no matter where you go, somebody's going to consider it strange. But we go by, you know, what's, you know, Vedic standard. We're saying cleanliness, or, you know, what kind of places, how can you keep it clean? You know what I'm saying? And there's always the alternative. You could try a different group of people or a different community. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Can we say if there's a certain standard people expect before they will accept you, then it's not actually you that accept, it's that standard.
Yeah, like that. You have to fit into their standard. Yeah. So that's the whole thing is, Dweeja's they don't fit into standards. They create the standards that they fit into. But the point is that's the point of Varnashram. The standard's there, so it's just how expert they are at fitting into it. And if the common people don't care, it's like they really don't care. So if it's the whole thing as though we have to adjust Krishna consciousness because I don't want to have people think that I'm weird, well, the Dvija just, why should I hang out with those people? Go somewhere else. You know, but then, it's not that easy and this and that. It is that easy.
But the fun part is if you really don't care, then they respect you.
Yeah, of course. That's the whole point. That's the point. It's just like this. If you stand there, the dog doesn't bother you. You're afraid and run. It chases you. It has to chase you. So that's the thing, is if you're worried about what they'll say, they'll have to say something. But if you can say stuff and they don't care, you know, it's like kids. The kids get fun out of harassing someone who gets harassed. But if you harass somebody and they don't care,
it's boring.
It gets boring. You know, how many times are you going to poke the guy if he doesn't react? You know, especially if a couple of times, and then you'll stop. Or you poke him, he punches you, and then you stop also. Like that. Yeah. So that's the whole thing, is that our business is not to adjust to the mundane standards that are speculative anyway. Country to country, it's totally different. What's the standard? You know?
They don't even get along with each other.
No. It means one country and the next they don't get along. Within the country, the different areas, north and south, never get along. Those people up in the mountains, those people on the plains, they don't get along.
Within the same family.
Yeah, that's the point. So, therefore, it's kind of like at some point we got to get over having to fit in. You find those people that you like and be with them, because you're not going to find that many anyway. It means people that can criticize, you can get unlimited. But people that actually like you, a few people, and that's enough. What does it matter? What's the saying, you know, us and the world, you know, like that. You know, it's like that, you know, it's just, if you have a good friendship, you don't care about the rest of the world. So that's the whole point. Yes.
I read the other day a statement, a high grade person should not give a common opinion because there's plenty of other people to do that.
Yeah. Another thing you just tell them is it's about the carbon footprint. Really? And they're still using these big places with such a big carbon footprint?
Yeah,
I mean, God, you know, why don't you get with it? This is, you know, 2016. I mean, you know, are you still back in the dark ages here? And then walk off. And then they'll never bother you again. Move somewhere else. Catch what's going on here. Yes, so then why complain? You did the thing. You know what I'm saying? We have to remember this is a public assembly. You want to ask the things that are valuable for your life now. Are you having problem fitting in here? So then, this is your community. Why go on those things? You know, then you're like the Vetal and Vikramaditya. You know, he's got 1,000 cases he couldn't, you know, he was a judge he couldn't solve. And so now he's a ghost. You know, what about this? What about that? That wasn't just that. Nothing's just in the material world. It's a bad place. That's why Prabhupada said he makes the temples. That's what the communities are for. Right? Chopati, you're in the community. There, they'll help you find places. They'll put you in contact where other devotees are. No other community in the world will do that. Because they don't care. So the point is Prabhupada's given the solution. You follow Prabhupada's solution, it works. We don't, then don't complain that it's a problem. Of course it's a problem. You know, when we talk about, okay, if you have a dog, they slobber. You know, so if you don't like slobbering, don't keep a dog. But then you don't go, well, okay, about dogs and all that, but what about Chihuahuas? Says, no, it's a dog, it slobbers. No, but Great Danes, you know, no, it's slobber. What about St. Bernard? You know, they're fat, they're not skinny and all that, and yet they slobber. You know, okay, well, what about those long, skinny dogs? You know, like that. You know, like that. What if the long, skinny dogs have long legs like they used to have? Like that, you know, it's a Doberman, right? And then you cut off the legs, then they become a dachshund. Like that. Oh, what about if they're, you know, fat and fumbly? What do they call them? Shishu. Huh? The chow-chow?
Yeah, with the blue tongue.
Chow-chow. But then there's no, then there, yeah, okay, that with the blue tongue?
Yeah.
Huh? No, the ones with all the skin.
Pug.
No, not that kind of pug.
It's a funny dog.
It's the Chinese dog. The taste is normally just got unlimited wrinkles of fat.
No idea.
We said it the other day. It was something with sharp.
Sharpie.
Yeah, sharpie. Because otherwise it was something something. That's something else. Yeah, that's how you have all these things in there, but you don't know what they mean.
That means thank you.
Yeah, she. She chow. Okay. Yes?
So don't keep a dog.
Yes. So the point is we don't keep going on. We've discussed this. Take it. Give it up. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Why are they harassing? You know, are they going to provide a bigger place?
No.
Right? So, done. Everybody in the city has a big... You know, so it's all about that, what kind of place you're in?
Pretty much.
So then, you know, yeah. So then... Move to a different place. Because those, you know, those of you that have it, they were born into that. So the point is what did they do? You know, if they're rich, they have this. They were born there. Did they make it? No. Go back, grandfather, great-grandfather. They did it all back 100, 150 years ago. What have they done? They just know how to look down the nose of people. You know what I'm saying? So, like that. Okay. Knowledge. So that it's based on actually scripture. What's proper? Right? It's that it's based on knowledge, not just sentiment. Means when you can bring your emotions in line with the knowledge, the shastra, that's good. That's proper. Right?
Yeah.
Like that. Mercy, that you're kind. Like that. Because there's always going to be something that's not ideal, so then they're kind. Right? Truthfulness, then it's about truth, about shastra, about the absolute. Not truthfulness doesn't mean facts. Facts are for shudras. The absolute, that's for Brahmins. You understand? If it's all about the facts, that's a shudra mentality. Right? And if it's about what's the absolute, that fact, that's real. Does that make sense? But if it's just, if the facts are according to time and space, then that's not what we're talking about here.
And if you're rearranging the facts just to prove your own point, that's lower?
That's being political.
Yeah.
That's pranamoy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Srila Prabhupada comments. In the institution of Varnashram Dharma, the symptoms of a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasi are all described. The ultimate aim is Achyutatmatvam, to think always of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or Vishnu. To make advancement in Krishna consciousness, one has to become a Brahmana. With the above-mentioned symptoms, right? So, in other words, you're trying to behave in Krishna consciousness. By nature, then knowledge and detachment come. These qualities can develop. But you have to be aware of them and comfortable with them as they do. As the opportunities to practice these come up, take it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't at that point say, oh, you know, but this is not for us. We're devotees. Oh, that's too austere. Or that's fanatic. Or... No, that's just the way it is. So the point is we may not have them, but by this surrender of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we'll start to develop them. As we develop them, we'll be able to use them more nicely in our surrender.
Yes.
Right? Because generally what gets in the way of surrender are the opposite of these. We don't control the mind. We just do what we want. The senses aren't controlled like that. We're not interested in austerity and penance. We're interested in performing our duties. Right? That's the big thing about the Vedic. Oh, there's duties. Why do I have to do these things? Right? Penance, cleanliness, it's like, you know, that's fanatic. You know, why do we have to do that? You know, hey, I went from taking bath once a week into taking a bath once a day. I mean, come on, get off my case. You know, like that. You know. Satisfaction, you know. Are we kidding?
Yeah,
you know, forgiveness, also. Are we kidding? Simplicity, it's like, you know, it's basically, unless you're someone who does something really, really practical, you know, that's what you do constantly, then you'll figure out simpler ways to do it. Or you generally come from something that's been exposed to more of a refined environment. Otherwise, then it's just not part of the culture. Right? Knowledge, then, yes, but mundane knowledge like that. Mercy, you know, yes, you know, we give in charity here and there, like that. Truthfulness, you know, we're up on the news. You
know? I'll tell you what I really think about you, too.
Yeah.
I'm just being real.
Yeah, just being honest here. Yes, yeah. Honest, yeah. Honest means this. You know, what's the nature of the living entity? Yes.
Yeah, it's simple. Very often I could see the excuse, I'm simple. You know, it just comes up to my mind, why you complicate with all these rules?
That's a new twist. I like it.
What is bad about it?
Yeah.
Honest and simple.
That's what I want to do. I'm being honest.
You see, Bhagavad Gita, honesty, simplicity.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
And truthfulness. You know, I'm truthfully telling everybody what I want and what I feel about everybody. I'm just truthful.
Yeah. And then what about the other way when you tell them? Then? Then they'll start bringing out, you know, mercy. That's a different verse.
Don't disturb the minds.
Compassion.
Okay. So they keep switching verses according to how you approach.
Very honest.
Yeah. And simply, yeah. Straightforward, yeah.
Oh. We should make an article.
That's amazing.
That would be fun.
It's like a, what do you call it? It's like a, you know, it's the thing, you're trying to catch something that's so slippery. And
yeah.
That's impressive. Yeah, generally at that point, then you just kind of find something else to do. Like we were discussing. Lord Chaitanya, when he would discuss with the Mayavadis, he'd sit down and discuss. They'd actually talk philosophy. But with the Buddhists, he just had a bird drop a plate on their head. Because, yeah, because he can't discuss. So. In other words, discussion is for those you can discuss with. And otherwise, if they're just going to mentally take it anywhere because it's just their mind, what is it, manoratha, you know, just riding the wrath of the mind, then better go do something else, you know, unless you enjoy the ride, you know, like that, you know. But otherwise, you know, if it's just like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah. I had one of those guys.
It's just a waste of time. You know, you pleasantly disengage like that, but you have to go off and do something else, you know. You know, something important, like go to the toilet or something. You know. Oh, I forgot to throw out the garbage. Excuse me.
I heard this is very commonly used technique to avoid meetings. Huh? When you go to the toilet and you don't come back.
Yeah. But even better is you go to the toilet while you're talking to the people before the meeting, go to the toilet. That's even better.
Yeah.
Okay. Sri Narad Muni continued. To be influential in battle, unconquerable, patient, challenging, and charitable, to control the bodily necessities, to be forgiving, to be attached to the brahminical nature, and to be always jolly and truthful, these are the symptoms of the kshatriya.
What? Jolly was not in the brahmanas?
Jolly.
They're satisfied.
No, but see, they're attached to the brahminical nature, the Brahmas, so therefore they're jolly. Yeah. No, it's just, it's a...
I was going to say Brahmas more grave rather than
Yeah,
jolly.
More grave. But it's not that they're not, you know, jolly in their own way. Like one devotee was telling me, he was sitting there, the Brahmins were in between some puja and they're just sitting around. Then there's this verse about Ganesh. It's a famous verse. It's like it's always used. And it's something, has this element of white and I forget what it, all the different elements to it. But it's a Vedic verse, so it's, you know, kind of a little esoteric. So then, while they're just waiting, they're all giving, interpretations of the verse. You know, of what it means. You know, in a kind of a, you know, humorous way. So they're taking the words, breaking them differently, or using them in obscure meanings and putting it together. So you could technically do that. And then they just sit there and go on and goofing about it until, you know, like that, different meanings until one is, it takes it that, you know, the white is the yogurt on the Dayuada, and when you see that, you become happy and like that. Because, you know, Ganesh, then, you know, all happiness and prosperity. And so, you know, they just keep going, you know, and all this and that. So, yeah, in their own way, they, yeah. Yeah. So, okay, influential in battle, right? Because if you get defeated in battle, it's not ideal, right? This is not rocket science, this one. Right? Unconquerable. So they should find a way to that nobody can defeat them. So that means you have to have plans. It's all done before, not just when it happens, run out there and stuff like this. You have to plan it in such a way you can't be defeated. Just like Jaipur. It's never been defeated. That's why it got its name, you know, like that. But if you've ever seen, I've never seen gates like that anywhere else. Everywhere else you have this gate, right? And then all the hordes are rolling up and with their things bashing it or charting on fire, or the different gate things are, you know, the rolling things are coming and this and that. They have this big gate that's already a gate. And then if you get through that gate, you go into a courtyard where there's another gate and there's no other way out. Right? And then all around the top and everything, there's like about a million places where people can shoot you. So if you do get in there, you know, you're finished. Like that. I saw it in a small one, I think, in Malbork, in Poland. It was what is that? Crusader knights. They were priests, but they were also warriors. And they went down and they fought in the Crusades. They were very, you know, very famous and very effective. So after the Crusades were over, then where should they go? You know, because they're priests, but they're warriors. So no one really wanted them. I think they were German. So someplace in Poland, they gave them a spot like that. And they built this amazing palace, I mean, fort that's there. So they had at the gate, you know, besides all the things that, you know, the things you can't get through and that. When you do get in, it's kind of narrow because there's just one entrance to the whole building. It's just walls, you know, there's nothing else, you know. And then when you go in, you have the gate and then another gate, you know, the iron gate. And they have all these doors along the side, right? And then when the people get in there, they do break through, then the doors open and it's all full of guys with bows and arrows and that. And they just shoot them and then close the doors again.
That moment you realize, wait a minute,
this is not good. You know, so it's just, that's, you just think of ways to how to secure the arrangements that it can't be defeated. You know, physically, you know, politically, economically, all these different things. You just set it up so that it's solid. Because the whole point is if it's protection, it should be consistent. So they have to be able to think like that. Unconquerable. Patient means anything worth getting done will take time. So you're able to go through the whole process until it finally happens, especially if you're dealing with a country. Things don't happen overnight, right? You want to arrange something in your house, you know, get all the men to pick up the sofa and move it over there. No, that's not good. Move it back over here. No, I don't like it. Try it over there. No, I don't like that. Maybe we should take it outside, put it up there. No, that's too, we have no place to sit. Bring it back down. Okay, and then it's done. But these other things, you want to adjust things in the country, it takes a while. So you have to be patient. You know. So just physically doing things, getting things done, political influence, all these things. You have to be patient. Challenging and charitable. Right, so that you don't have a problem taking up a challenge or anything, you know. And if somebody is doing something they shouldn't, you can challenge. Same time, you're charitable. It's not that you can just be in people's face. You can also, you know, see that everybody's taken care of. That's why these two go together.
Right, stick and carrot.
It's just two different aspects of the mood. Is that boldness to do something. You know, like that.
Boldness to do something when something is wrong, but also the charitable appreciate when things are right.
I'm always not just giving something, but also charitable is that you give someone else the benefit that that was good, or you know, like you see on the battlefield. they're enemies, they're fighting, but then the other person uses the technique that's just so wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then they'll all praise him for, you know, such good talent. So it's not that, oh, he's an enemy, he can't be good. Mm-hmm. No, it's he's
suspicious man.
Yes. Very good. Jai. Time you talk. Say welcome. Yeah. Okay. Slowly, slowly. Everybody comes back one by one. Yes, sir. All right. I say French representation won't be here this year, though. Okay. To control the.
We're talking about men qualities here, Sartre's.
Men.
Will the women have, if they're Kshatriya by nature, will they have Brahminical, it's common to those ones?
Yeah. No, they would have all these. You know, it would be a slightly different thing. Influential in battle means, you know, when you go to the wedding, who is going to look better? It's the same principle. It's just that, you know, the battle feels slightly different, that's all.
More dangerous.
Yeah, more dangerous. Like that. The other one, the maximum you can do is physically die. The other one is emotionally you can be scarred for, you know, lifetimes. So,
die a thousand deaths. Huh? Die a thousand deaths.
Yeah. 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 Okay. To control the bodily necessities. Right? So they have to be able to control the senses and everything like that. Because otherwise, if they can't, they can't actually rule the kingdom. So otherwise, emotionally, they'll do things that they shouldn't, or they'll spend money. I think that was the problem with Marie Antoinette. You know, there wasn't so much money, but she's still having parties. You know, so it's a problem. You can't control the senses; you don't get anywhere.
Let them have cake.
Yes. Okay. To be forgiving. Because it means these are the things you have to work on, right? So they have to try to be forgiving. Now, if they are forgiving, that's good. So Yudhishthir, he's your exemplary as far as a Kshatriya goes. Duryodhana is not. He's not forgiving.
This would appear to be one that the Kshatriyas have the most trouble with.
Yeah.
Forgiveness.
One of the most like that. Like Shakuni, he was unforgiving, but he was patient.
Yes.
Like that. So he waited. It took him a long time, you know. I'm not sure how long, like 20 years or something, before he actually destroyed it, you know. But if you give it up, then you're like Yudhishthir. These troubles happen, but he moves on. And so then everything can go nice, because otherwise if you're not forgiving, these other things are tough, right? To be attached to the Brahminical nature. Like that, one appreciates the Brahminical nature. That's what you're emulating, because all these things are applications of that, right? Because to be influential, you have to have knowledge, you have to have endeavor, you have to have, you know, enthusiasm. You can't be lazy. So you have to have these qualities, like the Brahmins have, but you're applying them slightly differently. That's why for the Brahmins and Kshatriyas are basically the same thing. It's just a little bit more, you know, activity involved, like that. Okay. And that way also, if they're attached to it, they're able to live by it, be controlled by it, like that. Otherwise, then, like that. And to be always jolly and truthful. So that straightforwardness and to be able to you know, to be laugh about it, see it in that way, then always makes it easier. Otherwise, if you're not jolly and, you know, truthful or forgiving, it's like, I think it was one time, it was always a thing, I think it was, you had Akbar up north, and you had, what was his name? You had Tenaliram, Krishna Deva Rai in the south. And so then Tenaliram was his minister. And they're constantly, you know, challenging. That means Akbar is, not from, because they could never get into south. They never conquered south. So then, at one time, then they came with an army, and they said, "You know, hey, how you say?" And they had this, what was it? They sent a messenger or something. Big, huge guy, real brute, like that. You know, no brains, you know, just like that. But, you know, and came in, and then, I forget what exactly happened, but basically that somebody insulted him. And without any discussion or anything, he just pulled out his sword and cut off his head. And so then everybody thought, this guy's very dangerous. We've got to get rid of him. Tenali Ram said, no, we got to keep this guy. Like that. He said, put him up, you know, give him his own place, you know, all opulences. You know, he should enjoy life. You know, he'll become very attached and loyal. So then they did that. And they sang, why do you want to keep this guy? And so then another time when then they were attacked by the Mughals, it's not an untypical thing that when the messenger comes and delivers the message, it's not going to be necessarily to the liking of the enemy, so they're going to insult him, right? And then, you know, then he'll go back and deliver the insult back there. You know, it goes back and forth, right? You know, so then it says, send this guy as the messenger. And he says, no, he's too passionate. This, that, so just send him. Like that, and say that, you know, and then, you know, so he's got a message that he's going to deliver to the general of the army. So then he goes there, you know, and delivers his message. So naturally, the general of the army doesn't appreciate. So they tell him to say something that's not very pleasant. So immediately, the general insults him without thinking. He just pulls out his sword and cuts off the head of the general, not thinking that, you know, the army will kill him. But, you know, the point. So, yeah. So, the point is you can't function the political world like this. Right? Tenali Ram did, because he's not doing that. He's patient. He's thoughtful. He's, you know, like this. But this other guy is, you know, he could be engaged, but, you know, he dies in the process.
He's a tool.
Yeah. So like that. So that's why one has to have these things. So that ability to be able to be happy and discuss things and be able to laugh about it. Because otherwise, if they can't laugh, the rest of it's too... the Brahminical lifetime is very simple, so you can just be sober. You know, it doesn't mean that they don't laugh now and again, but they don't need to laugh. Mm. But the Kshatriya, because of the intensity of administration and the difficulties that come with it, then they have to be able to laugh. They have to be able to be straightforward.
Otherwise, you know, it's overwhelming.
Yeah, otherwise it's overwhelming. So that's why you see the Kshatriyas after the battle. They come together, sit, joke, you know, this and that, talk all kinds of things. Then they're refreshed, so the next day they can go back to battle. Is that something? Yes. So an administrator should be able to do that. And you see, many really good managers, they can, you know, sit around and joke and this and that, and then get back to something very serious. You know, some more or less. I know one very good manager, all he does is joke. You know, like that. But he can really seriously get work done. Like that. You know, he's really pleasant. Everyone likes him around and that, because he can, you know, laugh about everything. Okay, these are the symptoms of a Kshatriya. Being always devoted to the demigods, the spiritual master, and the supreme Lord Vishnu. Like you generally see is the old Kshatriya families, they all worship Vishnu, and they worship some particular demigod, generally Devi. You know, with honor tiger with all the weapons. You know, somehow they like that one.
It's the Vaishyas.
The Vaishyas.
Huh?
Those will be the Vaishyas.
Where?
The sentence you just started.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. 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 Being always devoted to the demigods, the spiritual master, and the supreme Lord Vishnu, endeavoring for advancement in religious principles. Right? Endeavoring. It doesn't necessarily mean they're doing, but they're trying. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the point, is that they're trying to do, so that they'll try to work it in. Just like Nard Muni, when he was talking about his previous life when he was a child. He was saying he wasn't frivolous, he didn't play. And Prabhupada in the purport saying, you know, children always play. So what does that mean? It means in his mind he was being serious, though he was being playful. But he was focusing on trying to do, but it doesn't mean he didn't do childish things. Right? So the Vaishya, they may be doing all kinds of things that, you know, is how you say, not absorbed in some, but in their mind, that when they're not doing the business, then they're thinking about religion. Does that make sense? They'll think about these things. Then it'll come up now and again. The more that they can maintain it, the better they'll be at it. So, yeah. Okay. Endeavoring for religious principles, economic development, and sense gratification, dharma, artha, and kama. Because right? It's like, why would you do business unless you can get artha? You know, and then that's because you can enjoy yourself as kama. But you require dharma to be able to do that. So they're going to be generally focused on dharma, artha, and kama. You can say, oh, well, we're devotees, but most discussions I see when you're talking about community or other devotees, all they're talking about is this. They don't. That dharma, of course, don't worry. That one they're not worrying about. And kama they won't talk about because that's, you know, you don't talk about those things with devotees. But artha, it's just unending. You know, like that. Does that make sense? So it's just natural that it'll be going on. So the point is it has to broaden. What is the proper application of that? What would be the proper thing? So therefore, the detail of it. You have the what is the detail? What's going to be there? The food? How it's going to be arranged? How is everyone going to be seated? How are they going to be comfortable? You know, what are the arrangements for that? Who's going to be doing? How are they dressed? You know, the whole experience. Then that takes them beyond just themselves and their sense gratification. That's the point of the Vedic. Because if it's based on dharma and art, then your kama is going to be of a higher grade. So it's going to include others. It's going to be refined. Does that make sense? This doesn't mean that, you know, it's gross, because the point is then they have so much facility. Why would they be worried about the gross? You know, the fineness of it, the niceness of it. So, you know, it's just like, I've seen many times is that if you want to have a conversation on good food and cooking and recipes and everything and what goes with what, if you have that with Vaishyas, you'll get generally much better conversation. They get right into the detail and this with this and that, and oh, if you do this, and there's all kinds of stuff you can do. Just like I learned once, you know, poppers? Mm-hmm. Right? You know, they take dal, and then it's ground, and then they're in that, and they roll it out flat, dry it in the sun, and then you cook it on the fire, deep fry it. Right?
Papad.
Yes. Okay. One of those. Okay, so you've all eaten them, right? You take break a piece off from that, or just stick it in your mouth and eat it like a cookie or something like that, okay? Okay, now, would you know that if you take it and crumble it up into powder, it has a totally different flavor? You may say, why? But it's just like pasta. You change the shape, it changes the flavor. And then what you can do with it after that. So I remember one time, when it's going on about what you can do with a popper. You know? They were like just totally, and then the kinds of poppers, and you know, you have different, you know, it's like after the meal, you want this kind or that kind, you know, mung dal, the ur dal one, or potato one. And it's not just that they make it, then afterwards, then you put some warm ghee on it, put some chili powder on, or different things that they do with it. It's just this whole conversation just over that. You know, does that make sense? But I've only had those kind of conversations to that degree with, you know, those from the business community. Because the point is, you have money, now what are you going to do with it? You know, you're going to have to, something to eat. Right? You know, something good.
It can't be what everyone else is eating.
No, that's of course point not. Of money, yeah, that's the point. You know, then the saffron, and where did he get the saffron, and, you know, like that. Believing in the words of the... Okay, then... Okay. Believing in the words of the spiritual master and scripture, and always endeavoring for expertise in earning money. Right? So believing in the words of the spiritual master, otherwise they may tend to you know, not believe, right? You know, so it's not necessarily that they're going to be contemplating it there, but they believe in them and try to apply it. Now, whether they can always absorb themselves, like the Brahmins, it's always about truth. That means they're always contemplating the scriptures. So there's a minimum, they have faith in the scriptures. So this is where they start. As the devotional element develops, the brahminical nature develops, so you see those same brahminical qualities will also be there in their lifestyle. But in the business part of it, then you'll generally see if they can keep to this, they're doing good. Does that make sense? So in ashram, devotees will all have those qualities, as Prabhupada mentioned. Devotees need to develop those qualities. That's the ashram. But in their varna, whether they're using all those qualities or not, then that's another thing. The Brahmin has to use those in their occupation. But a Kshatriya has those in the ashram, but has others in his occupation. Compatible. Then the Vaishya has those brahminical qualifications in ashram, and then has these go over into occupation. Because otherwise, we tend to say, okay, my lifestyle is one thing, my occupation is something totally different, and then my service is again different. So then you have three different kind of lifestyles. That's not ideal, right? You know, I mean, generally, you're considered, you know, you go into the clinical category if there's two, right? When you have three, then that's serious.
Multiple personalities.
Yeah, multiple, like that. So that's the point. So the Vedic is there's the common in ashram, and then you have the specific in the other. But you see, is that from the one, the ashram, that goes over into the varna. You know, the qualities that are mentioned here are qualities from ashram that are extended into the varna. So which ones extend and how they extend, that's then what's explained. Right? So if the ashram's not developed, how this is going to happen? Because that's the point. They all develop first as brahmacharis, right? So that means ashram is first, right? They've lived in the ashram, right, grihastha, then they go as brahmacharis. Then after that, then they'll go into their position and then their occupation. Does that make sense? So the occupation is extension of the ashram because it's for supporting the ashram. So it shouldn't go against. Yes. You can't get things in one way and be another.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
How do you say? In other words, you couldn't be like, let's say, a pacifist and you know, all that at home, but for an occupation, you're in charge of Camp 3, right?
No.
Yes, that wouldn't work. Okay. Okay, and expertise in earning money, right? They should know what they're doing. They shouldn't waste money, right? Because it's Lakshmi. These are the symptoms of the Vaishya. Offering obeisances to the higher sections of society, the Brahmin, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, being always very clean, being free from duplicity, serving one's master, performing sacrifices without uttering mantras, not stealing, always speaking the truth, and giving all protection to the cows and Brahmins. These are the symptoms of the Shudra. Srila Prabhupada comments. Footnote. Maybe it should be like flashing red or something. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns verses 21 to 24 to Bhagavad Arkamrichimala, chapter 15, entitled Analysis of Favorable Conditions for Bhakti, Bhakti Anukul Vichara, which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakura's books. So these definitions of the varnas here, that's favorable to bhakti. Because these are what you engage. This is the activities you do, right? Because if someone's a brahmachari, you know, vanaprastha, yes, and that's one thing. If we're not focusing on this so much, you know, the brahminical there, that's just standard as a devotee. But the point is as grihasthas, then one has an occupation. Therefore, then you add in these qualities to support what's in the ashram. So then it becomes compatible, right? It's consistent, not that your lifestyle is one thing, your occupation is another, and the things like that. We're not talking about what you're doing, because it didn't mention so much what they're doing here. Right? It mentions the mentality that's there. That's the difference. That underlying that, of course, is going to be the particular activities. But the focus is mainly on the mentality. So we see when Narad Muni explains the Varna Ashram, He's talking about the qualities by which they work, right? Because it's guna and karma. Well, you see, in Gita, it talks about guna for Brahmins and Kshatriyas, but karma for Vaishyas and Shudras. But here, Narad Muni talks about guna for all four. Like that. You know, there's a touch on karma, but it's mainly about the qualities. So,
Maharaj, the first sudra being always very clean, is that particularly externally clean?
How much they can do. That's the whole point, is that one's trying to... Point is, if there's cleanliness is there, then the quality of life will go up, since the tendency is to be influenced by ignorance. The cleaner the environment, the more goodness you're adding to it, because they tend to be more mental and more disturbed. A cleaner environment is more peaceful for the mind, right? So we see, it's like you see more refined shudras like a cleaner atmosphere and can't tolerate people that aren't clean and stuff like that. So it's because it's advantageous for their position. So the idea is that this is there, how much they can do that, that's better. So it'll always be an advantage. You know, but the basic thing is that they're working for whoever they're working for. You know, taking care of the cows and the Brahmins like this. So these things all make everything work, right? Means it's like obeisances, that so they're always respectful, otherwise they'll tend to, because of their material desires, not respect anybody. Right? It's just a means to get facility. But if they don't respect, how will they progress? How will they develop finer qualities? Right? Being always very clean, being freed from duplicity, otherwise then you don't know what's going on. Because already, as we said, because you're dealing with more desire, more emotion and all that, it'll be more unclear of what you're dealing with. Otherwise, how do the others? Because they're trying to be straightforward, and so how do they function if the shudras are duplicitous? Right? Serving one's master, because if they don't do their service nicely, then how will anybody prosper? Because the others are doing something that benefits the total society, and so then if they're assisting nicely in that, then the whole society is benefited. But if they don't do that, then how will society be benefited? Right. So, and how will they benefit themselves? Because of who they're working under isn't benefiting, how will they be taken care of? Right. If you don't work nicely at the business doesn't make money, how will they pay you? So because you do nice work, they make profit, you get paid. Right? Does that make sense? That's the whole thing. Performing sacrifices without uttering mantras. So they're absorbed in, you know, basic things like that. Because otherwise, then, if you have to know all the mantras and this and that, then there's a tendency they won't do anything. Oh, I don't know that. So it's just, the since the tendency is towards the external, follow the external. Because you're doing it because of the higher principle. That's one thing. The other thing it means, like, without uttering mantras, means that they don't say the mantras with the swaras. They just say them like you would a Gita shloka. Right, so the Vedic mantras will be said without the swaras, right? You know, and if they're not Vedic, then anyway, it doesn't matter. So that's the meaning on that side. For the priests and that, they'll be using, but for themselves, then they do it as best they can, because the intent is there. They're trying to do something uplifting, you know. Not stealing, right? Because it's not yours. You have to learn everything belongs to Krishna, right? Always speaking the truth, so being straightforward. Then it's clear what one needs, what one wants, what, you know, like this. And giving all protection to the cows and Brahmins, because then by that they got the most benefit. Because by that position one's elevated very quickly.
We said facts are for Shudras, so speaking the truth, what is it referring to here?
It means that they're straightforward.
Straightforward.
It doesn't mean the Brahmins, when they're talking about truth, means the absolute truth. Here, this simply means they're straightforward in their dealings. You know, they're not lying and being duplicitous and stealing. Yeah, like all that kind of. Okay. So, thank you. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki.
Jai.
Chaitanya Thai Gaura.